WTTS on demand.
It's 92.3 WTTS. I'm Craig Shank with Adam from The War on Drugs. They're on tour now in support of the album Slave Ambient. And the band traces its roots back to around 2003 in Philadelphia, and there have been a few adjustments over the years. How did you find yourself with this current lineup of the band?
Dave Hartley is our bass player. He's like a monster on the bass. And he's actually been in the band pretty much since like the second or third show back in 2005. And then Robbie Bennett, he plays like Wurlitzer piano and synthesizers and keyboards and guitar. And him and Dave actually played in a band together for years long ago. So they've known each other a long time, and I've known Robbie kind of since around the time I met Dave back then. And Robbie's played like a few shows with us over the years, but then last summer when we went on tour on the East Coast, he came along, and he's like a total wizard on the keyboards. And then our friend Steven plays drums, and he's the most recent member. He joined in March.
And it seems right now, if you hear anything about Philadelphia's current music scene, you can't hear about that music scene without hearing a mention of the War on Drugs. It just seems like Philadelphia is ingrained in your music and vice versa. Do you think that that city has shaped the sound of the band, and do you think you have any role in shaping the musical direction of that city at this point?
Personally, it's like Philadelphia's a pretty affordable city, especially jammed up in like the East Coast like that. So it's afforded myself and like the others the ability to kind of have a lot of space, you know? I've lived in the same house for a long time, and having that house over the last 8 years, we practice there and have a studio there, and it kind of gives the ability to like always be kind of living with your music, and you can always rehearse, and you don't have to worry about your practice space across town. And I think that has a lot to do with it, because you can always kind of be working on stuff and always like be experimenting in the studio or as a band or with all your equipment set up. And I think for me personally, that's been one of the main things that's helped shape the albums and the direction of the band, because a lot of it is so like I learned how to do a lot of that stuff just over time and just doing it all the time, you know, recording all the time at home, or what it sounds like to set up 17 amplifiers and run stuff through it. So yeah, I think that has a lot to do with it. And I mean, not every band in Philly is like kind of doing what we're doing, but there's just a lot of music coming out of there, and it's the kind of place where everyone tends to be friends with people in the other bands and playing each other's stuff. And yeah, it's a great place.
And you've got the new album out. It's called Slave Ambient.
Mm-hmm.
Did the sound or the recording process have anything to do with the choice of title for the album?
When I named it at the end of the day, I think it definitely had something to do with it. It was recorded at my house and at my friend Jeff's studio, and at a studio in Dallas and a studio in North Carolina, and at times like in little bits and pieces around Philadelphia or New York or something. So it was definitely a lot of like, not necessarily like mishmashing, but just taking a lot of different feelings from different places you recorded songs and just trying to keep the moments, regardless of like the fidelity of what you were recording, trying to keep the moments that kind of felt the most unique or the most honest or something. So some of the texture stuff was just stuff that I would make at home,
mm-hmm.
like in a number of ways, mostly just from recording a lot and sampling and resampling and dubbing it out, and then kind of building, not just playing a song on top of it all, but trying to find a song in all these little melodies that pop up when you listen to loops over and over. So it's kind of like through the haze, like a song would appear, and then you could kind of like move in that direction and then go into a different direction.
It's 92.3 WTTS. I'm Craig Shank with Adam from The War on Drugs. And as a listener, I hear a very cohesive and conscious album, but you've mentioned in some interviews in the past that there are some imperfections that were left in and made the cut. How do you make the choice on what gets included or left behind on an album?
I think for me, it's usually about like just listening to it. And, you know, for instance, there was one song called I Was There, and we had the basic tracking for it. And then it was really late at night, and probably the last thing we were going to do in the studio. And I just was like, let me just do a quick vocal just to get the melody idea down. And I had a few lines that I'd been working on for the song. And I went in and did it, and it was really loose, and I was kind of improvising a little bit because I had some of the lines. But for the most part, I was just kind of listening to it and just kind of feeling it. And it sounded great. And then over the next couple weeks and months, I kept writing the lyrics out like a madman and re-singing them. And they just never felt like as true or something. And so I always just went back to the original one that was like just in the moment. And I think that's kind of the, you know, the way it works with us is like, it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, we don't do like a million takes of something. Just like when you do it, just if it feels like it was good and you listen back to it and you feel something, then we tend to keep it. And we also pile it on too a lot of times and then erase a lot of it. But that's kind of how you arrive at something, so.
Well, do you think that some albums or artists are actually losing something by attempting to make a record perfect or by re-recording things, or is it just something different for your band that you don't really see the importance of doing that?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, for our band, it's like, I think that's one of the things that makes, I mean, so far, makes the albums kind of what they are. Because, you know, there's some imperfections and things aren't perfect. But I definitely wouldn't be the same record if it was, like, re-recorded, super pristine and, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I can also see the benefits of wanting to make something, like, totally perfect and gritted out and beautiful sounding. So, yeah, I think for these songs, it was like, they didn't start where they finished, you know, so it was kind of like the sound of it and the way it's sometimes a little messed up. I think that's kind of the journey of getting, of me trying to find the song sometimes, so.
Yeah, and you're mentioning the journey of a song, and I imagine the recording process, you've got a couple of different ideas percolating there. When you take them out on the road and play a concert, the songs might change a little, and then when you play an acoustic session, there's another interpretation. Do you ever go back and listen to your original recordings and hear something that you don't even remember doing because the songs have changed so much over time?
Sometimes, yeah. The songs from the first record we tend to take out a little more than we ever have, but live for the songs on the new record, it's almost like it took so long for us to arrive at the versions and arrangements that are ended up on the record. For most of the songs, I spent like maybe a year and a half, 2 years on some of them, you know? Not even necessarily writing them, just like recording them and then kind of shaping them and changing the arrangements and making little changes and then going in a new direction. And so it's almost like we already kind of like did the experimentation when we recorded, you know, and so we're kind of left with just the way the song ended up being. So we don't really stretch out, I mean, we stretch out the songs live for the sake of playing live, but we don't really reinterpret the newer songs too much because they're really fun to play and they all like, a lot of them tend to go into each other and we try to, you know, sequence them with, like, the older songs, too, so you can kind of hear the most of the catalog, you know, kind of in the form of the records the way they are, so.
92.3 WTTS, Craig Shank with Adam from The War on Drugs, and now that the album's been out a little while, critics and fans have had their say about it. Have you found that any critiques have been memorable or unusual, or do you even bother paying attention to that kind of feedback?
To be honest, we've been on tour for 2 months or something, and, I really don't even really read reviews anymore. The best is when you're playing somewhere you've never played before, like Stockholm or Columbia, Missouri or Lawrence, you know, or Seattle. And you play a song from the new record and you hear one person go crazy, you know, or after the show you talk to some people and they're like, you like to know what their favorite songs are. And I mean, that, to me, that's like the best thing. It's great to have positive press for sure, but I can't like continue to just read it all. But I mean, the best thing is just to meet the people who come to the shows.
Have you ever met anyone that's just over the top with a love for your music?
Yeah, actually, I met someone in Lawrence, Kansas, and he'd been living in North Carolina for a long time, which is where we actually have a lot of fans and a lot of friends. And he just moved to Lawrence. He's like a shamanistic healer or something, but he wouldn't refer to himself as a shaman, but super nice guy. And he was like a really huge fan of the first record and Slave Ambient, and he said it just like when he moved from North Carolina to Lawrence, it like was really difficult for him leaving his family and his friends, and he moved for work, you know, and he said the record really helped him through everything. It was like super moving, and we talked for like 2 hours outside the club in Lawrence, and he gave me like a quartz stone. I don't really know what it's for, but I'm just supposed to keep it in my pocket, so I do. And so far the 2 nights I've had in my pocket, I've had good shows. But yeah, it's like people like that, like you meet and they relate to the music in a way that's like kind of what it's there for, so.
And it seems like music for you has been a really positive thing. You've mentioned some interactions with fans, but what would you hope someone would take away from hearing one of your albums or seeing your show if it's maybe their first time having that experience with your music?
Yeah, probably, maybe, oh, that guy's insane, but the band's ripping. You know what I mean? Or, you know, we need to get that guy, you know, get him a haircut or something. No, I think people come and we've been playing for almost 2 hours this tour, hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. And, you know, I think it's just, it's kind of thing where we just try to take you on some sort of journey and also play, like, the songs the way that makes us feel comfortable as a band, you know? Because they're the kind of, all the records have kind of been made without, like, a really, like, a touring kind of cohesive band in place, you know? So when you put a band together that hasn't necessarily recorded the records all together, like, everyone in the band played on the record, but not in the sense of, like, cutting it live and stuff. Mm-hmm. So everyone, when you play the songs live, everyone's sensibilities are going to kind of change the recorded version, so you just kind of have to embrace that and, like, let the band sound like it sounds, not trying to make it sound like anything else.
The band actually has a local connection here. Your record label, Secretly Canadian, yeah, is located in Bloomington.
Yeah, of course.
How did you get hooked up with the label, and have you had a good experience in Indiana so far?
Yeah, actually, we've been to Bloomington a number of times over the last couple of years, because it's, you know, it's usually one of our first stops, either from Philadelphia or before Philly, returning home. Yeah, back in the day, I was working on some recordings that ended up on the first album, and a friend of mine who was on the label already sent them, like, the rough mixes, which I didn't even know he was doing. And then, you know, flash forward, like, 3 or 4 months, we were talking about putting an album together, which is, like, I was recording, playing a ton and recording a lot because I loved doing it, and was thinking, obviously, you'd love to get a label, but I didn't really know much about that world. And so it just kind of, in a way, fell into my lap, and it's been, like, a really positive relationship. It's a great, great, super great label, and it's an awesome town, and every time we come through, it's just really special to connect with all the people there. So
it's 92.3 WTTS. I'm Craig Shank with Adam from The War on Drugs. They're on tour now in support of the new album Slave Ambient. Thanks so much for coming in today,
Adam. Yeah, thanks
Adam.
So much for having us.
WTTS On Demand.